Hello and welcome to the Leadership Deep Dive Show. I'm here with obviously David Lanjuli, my friend and colleague, and I'm Margaret Katzcan, and we are going to talk about anger today. So don't leave yet, though. It's actually a really good topic.
Which is mentioning the topic of anger, people are getting angry.
Right.
They're
That really
getting,
pisses me off.
I don't
Yeah.
want to, I don't want to talk about anger. What are you, I'm angry at you guys for talking about anger. We need
That's
all
the
these.
dumbest topic ever. Yeah. This topic came up for me. David and I have been friends for many years now, and we talk about all kinds of things. And I've noticed over the years that whenever I talk about like being really proud of myself for getting angry or wishing that I had gotten angrier to protect myself in a conversation, David, you come from a very different place, don't you, in your relationship with anger and your
Well, I
journey.
certainly applaud you when
Yeah.
you do that. And I am working in the other direction on anger management, or you can't really manage it. Let's see what for me, anger's emotion served hot and fast, kind of like a really good fast food joint, except it gives you indigestion afterwards.
Just like the food. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I thought this was so interesting because I don't think that there are an enormous number of people out there who feel like they've nailed it around anger. Like, yeah, I have the perfect amount of anger. I use it wisely. It's catalytic for me, right? Like, I think most of us either are on one end of the spectrum, as in their temper has been something that they've had consequences from. Right. And they feel shame about sometimes to the other side of that continuum, which is where I have found myself, where for a variety of reasons, anger was very non-adaptive for me as a child. You know, that was not my role in my family to get angry. And I started to believe about myself, like I'm just a person who doesn't even feel angry, which of course is bullshit. But I did tell myself that for a lot of years. Yeah.
So there's the we like to use this word skillful, and I do believe there's a skillful application of this emotion, which is exists for a reason. It survived all of these hundreds of thousands and millions of years in us as human beings for a reason. And it's kind of like Aristotle's golden mean between two extremes, and you and I come at it. Well, I think we're moving towards that golden means, but in different
Right.
directions.
From different sides of that
Right.
spectrum.
From different sides of the seesaw. So
Yeah.
we're kind of like,
Yeah.
you're trying to do that movement.
Yeah.
So I do think there is a skillful use for this emotion. It's just that based on your upbringing, like for me, it was very well adapted in my household. Like you just you had to yeah you know it was encouraged
Yeah,
almost.
that's
This,
funny.
I'm not saying this was functional,
Yeah,
but
it's a little bit like fight or freeze, right? Like we get programmed, or maybe we're born. I have no idea. It feels more like we get programmed to have different responses when conflict goes up. And some people are programmed to fight back, and probably those are the people who are looking to move a little bit to a more skillful relationship with having less anger or being less prisoner to their anger, whereas I, who was more of a freeze person around, things that felt traumatic, I've had to learn and I'm still learning how to tap into anger as a protective force sometimes.
Yeah, it can be like that as a protective force. Like if you have a pleaser saboteur that we've talked about on the show here, people pleaser. A lot of folks in the nonprofit world sabotage themselves this way, and so the people pleaser would never, that saboteur would never let you get angry. or stuff it down and, you know, it comes out some other, it gets put. I know you're doing some work around somatic coaching, Margaret, and, you know, it's living in your body. It's just that it's not coming out of your mouth. So,
right. Yes. Yeah. And I think if it doesn't come out, I think a couple things can happen. And one is that, you know, we swallow it and it makes us ill, right? Or it makes us weak. And then we ooze it out. Like I would have said about myself, like, I'm not angry, but man, I could be really irritable. Like a low hum of irritability all the time, you know? So that's one thing that happens if we don't express our anger. And the other thing that I noticed was sometimes, like in the system of my family, sometimes my kids, one in particular, would like get angry when I should have gotten angry and I didn't. He would get angry like weirdly, like there was just this connection, and he would get angry because the space needed anger. It wasn't coming from the appropriate source. And so we can mess with a family system both by having too much anger and by not having enough anger.
Well, and since this is a leadership deep dive show, we're talking a little bit about self-leadership here. So leading from self, inner leadership might be another way of expressing that. But there's also in organizational life, there is also anger has kind of activate sage power in it. It can be like the spark to get into action. So it has that kind of motive force,
right?
I think
it gets you going. Yeah. Something else, like when I just one, it wasn't the first time that I ever got angry, but one noteworthy experience for me, somebody just sent me an email and the details aren't really relevant, but it sent me through the roof. Like I was white hot, you know, like I just felt like a volcano had just started going in me, and I let it actually happen. And I took it off of email so I didn't hit send accidentally, because you don't want to do that when you're writing emails one shall never send. But I mean, I just let it rip, and I'm a writer and I'm very expressive in my writing, and it felt so clarifying, you know. It was like this giant fire had burned through something and it left like fertile ashes instead. It was actually, I thought, oh, this must be what it feels like to be skillful with anger, where you just let it burn in a contained way without hurting other people. And then it leaves you. Like I felt so clear about how to interact with this person. I never sent the email, but I had this crystal clear sense of what to do next, how I needed to readjust my boundaries in this relationship. Like it was just, it was incredibly powerful.
I'm curious if it was, you had that clarity after the white heat or during it?
I would say it was catalyzing during, and then when I stopped feeling angry, I was like, oh, there it is.
Yeah.
But it was a really powerful force. And I thought, wow, look what I've been missing out on. And I don't think overuse of anger or getting stuck in anger, I don't think it leads to that yummy clarity either, right? Which is why but that's what we're working towards. You know, how do we interact with that anger in a way that just leaves us so clear? You know, we let it burn through. It didn't stay for days, like 20 minutes probably.
Right. Yeah, that's my experience of it. If you let it burn and then burn out, it's like a forest fire. It'll burn out eventually if you don't keep feeding it with fuel.
Right.
You know,
or stomping on it before it starts, which is what I would have done. Yeah. No. Yeah.
Right. Well, that's the thing, right? So just to keep playing with the forest fire metaphor, you know, the forest grows, the pine cones sprout their seed because of the fire. So
they need the heat, to
drown. Yeah. And, you know, to have a healthy forest, you have to let it burn. We've learned this now. So I think that's the same thing with anger, you know, letting it burn and in a skillful way. You know, I think the skill comes in how you expressed it, Margaret, noticing first, right? So this is our positive intelligence program. The first step is noticing, oh, I'm angry. Now, you might think like, oh, that's really easy. You know when you're angry, but it comes on so fast. You might say something before you even, words might come out of your mouth. And this certainly has happened with me.
Yeah. Sometimes you don't even know till you see the expression on the face of the person that you're expressing your anger to.
So the first thing is to notice. Next step is to being mindful and doing something we call PQ reps, like do some sensation, like breathing. This is where you get into the body. This is
okay. Does this help if you're really angry, David?
It does help me.
Yeah, tell me
if I breathe. Well, I'm going in the different direction.
I know, that's why I'm super curious.
Right. If I breathe, if I notice and breathe, I can let that fire burn without taking unskillful action. Now, I've had to remove myself from situations because it was so hot. My anger was so hot that anything I said or did was going to be unskillful. And so the only skillful thing for me to do is to remove myself. And I've done that. You've seen it.
When the forest fire burns towards the houses, now we have a problem, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. So, and I think, in my story of success, I felt my anger. And again, I took myself, I gave myself permission to write in a medium where there was no way that I would send this, right? I mean, it was like I was taking myself out of that situation of having a very reactive, mean email back. And I was like, I'm just going to vent and see what happens here.
Yeah. And allow yourself to
feel it, but knowing that, the thing that was brought up in me was much bigger than just this email, right? The email was a trigger and I had a lot of rage built up.
Yeah. You're getting to something that you and I talk about again in our positive intelligence coaching program, the founder of that work, Shirzad Chameen, will say, take your hand off the hot stove. It's very interesting that particular metaphor is heat. Yeah. And in our experience, I'll speak in my own, and I have talked about this. It can be, when he says immediately or very quickly take your hand off the hot stove. But for some emotions, they tend to linger longer than a few seconds. And as you experienced in your journaling exercise, it was hot, white hot, and you let it rip. But it took you 10, 20 minutes to really let the fire burn out. And I've had that experience too. So it's not as simple. I think the more skillful you get at this, I'll speak for myself again, the more skillful I have become at noticing and using that energy, I can take my hand off the hot stove faster. And for you, it's like keeping your hand on the hot stove.
Like hold my hand there. I want to say a different thing about anger, which is, I think, we all know people, or we've shared the highways with people or overheard them in restaurants, who seem to be really stuck in perpetual anger, right? Mm-hmm. Like they're just angry all the time. Mm-hmm. And that is it's scary, right? It's scary to be around people like that. It's not super pleasant. And I think when I see that, I think that sometimes people, I'm pretty sure it's unconscious, but they lurk in anger because the anger is like somehow protective against other feelings, like the disaffected feelings that they're really scared to feel, there's more control in anger than there is in allowing yourself to really feel grief or despair or powerlessness. Right. And I think there are people who use anger this was not how, maybe it's not skillful and it's not why we evolved to have anger. Like, it is meant to be protective, but I don't believe that it's meant to be protective over years and years. It's not meant to protect you from yourself. No.
Well, it does raise in the body my understanding of the hormone soup that exists in our bloodstream. It does raise, adrenaline and cortisol levels, which are stress hormones. It's a fight type of response. But having practiced a martial art now for 10 plus years, I can tell you there are ways, and it always, every time you get into a sparring round, it's a fight. But I've learned to be calm in those moments. And yet, if I have to turn on the heat, the switch is always there. But it's not anger as it is just energy. It's just like, okay, I need, this guy's trying to trick choke me out or break my arm. I need to defend myself.
And I think that's a different, right? That's a different texture of it's not exactly anger, but it's a cousin. It could be anger, but it's not for you.
Not any longer. I mean, I would say in my early days of training in jiu-jitsu, there was definitely some anger for sure at stuff that I thought guys were doing that was unfair or brutal to me, or unnecessary. And yeah, I mean, yeah, I would get angry. Not so much anymore. And the people around me now are also more skillful, so we're not brutalizing each other as much as we used to.
It was free for the moment.
For the moment. But for you, I'm curious about where in your life you could use more of this energy. I you did share with me that I think it's the circumstance you were talking about with this particular email. And but are there some other areas of your life, Margaret, where you feel, because this could really help the pleasers out there, because I know you're making progress with this. So yeah, there's some other areas that you're looking at using this energy more.
I'm not sure. I'm going to answer the question a little differently, which is like what's been most helpful to me in getting back into relationship with my anger. And one is I think just believing that it doesn't stay forever. I think people get very afraid with big, powerful emotions of any sort, including love, including anger, including grief, that if you open up that box and let it out, that it will never stop coming out of the box, that you will be stuck in it forever. I mean, I thought I've have so much repressed anger that if I let myself get angry, I'll spend 10 years, being angry. And it has never, not one day really, has it felt that way. Like if I really give myself the space to do it, it comes and it burns, and then the fuel is gone and it goes away. So that's been super helpful. I think trying to use it in a skillful way as a protective, just in sometimes just saying like, no, thank you, doesn't really get the message across. So letting it be in my voice, like to get myself, like, I mean it. No, thank you. Like that's not okay, or that's a no, it's still a no, right? Like to and to let it come slowly if it needs to, but to, so that's a place where I would use it as like, I can be feeling angry, and if I don't let it into my voice, then it's not protective of me.
I think there is if you're drawing a barrier, the pleaser would express it as you did the first time you were saying
Please
it.
don't do
Yeah,
that.
it's just like not strong enough.
Right.
And so this is where the anger can help your no mean no, without like you don't have to say, I already told you once, you fucking asshole. You know, you don't have to say it that way.
And I don't have to often, I don't have to be angry the first time. Like, we can have one time where I say this politely.
Yeah.
You know, but then I allow the anger to make me more powerful, right? To make, yeah, to make me, make me have other people believe about me that I mean it, because I do, you know?
Right.
And
yeah.
So that's the place to just gently pull in enough anger to not sound like, what are you going to do about it? You know, from other people.
But there's all kinds of leaks in this. I was thinking, when I say leaks, like this container, it could leak out as sarcasm, snarky, right?
Sometimes something really biting and like, oh God, I just was mean. I didn't intend to be mean, but I'll try to tease somebody, but it will come out with like a really strong, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, yeah. It can leak for sure.
Yeah. It can leak. Those are just milder forms. And I was also, I had another thought. Oh yeah. The tail. So if the tail, one tail of anger is resentment. So you'll see a lot of folks, including me, I can get like this, you know, the anger will morph into resentment.
Yeah. I'm here to tell you our mutual friend, Nancy, she will die on this hill of like, anytime you feel resentment, it has nothing to do with the other person.
Oh yeah.
Resentment is 100% like, how have you stepped on your own toes here? How have you allowed yourself? Like, we take it out as resentment on another person, but the origin point of resentment all the time is how we did not conduct ourselves the way that we meant to or wanted to or would have liked to.
Yeah. Well, that there's also regret, which is I think lives in a different land.
Yeah.
Resent is like something is projecting onto somebody else. It's really projecting your anger, frustration.
Right. Your anger at yourself onto another person. That's
exactly. Exactly. Yes. But I will say that in the realm of what we're talking about here, the inner critic can have a very angry voice. Certainly mine can. And then there, it's actually not all that helpful.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes you'll get angry at yourself for not getting angry. Yeah. I'm thinking about you. And I'll get angry at myself for having gotten angry.
Right. You kind of beat yourself up. Yeah, yeah. For whatever you didn't do the right thing or yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. So it's complicated. Like we said, starting out here, this emotion exists because it must have some useful function. And so using it skillfully is what we're talking about. And there is no right or wrong way of doing this. It's just, I think, knowing thyself and then seeing where you could use this energy. I like to think of it about like, of energy, but it is a hot energy. How could I either cool the heat down a little bit in my case, which I've been working on, or you could, you know, get the bellows out and flare it up a little bit. Yeah. I'm taking ice baths and you're jumping into the sauna, you know. Between the two of us, we got a contrast therapy session going on.
Right, we've got a whole spa. locker. But I do think what's common is that, you know, we're both working towards a more skillful relationship.
That's common for you and me, but
for everyone. You know,
I think, this is for folks in the audience who are working on themselves and recognize that they're at, you know, maybe you have a perfectly healthy relationship. You've got the golden mean down. And, you know, so this is for those in the audience who are you know, more like Margaret and want to move and use that heat a little bit more. And for those in the audience who are more like me, you want to cool that heat off a little bit and still be effective, and not deny, you know, stuffing it down. You know, even for people who express anger more frequently or more easily, stuffing it down can also be hazardous.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. And it leaks out in ways that you have no control over sometimes.
It will leak out. It will. Sarcasm is one way, but I tend to use sarcasm, especially, you know, more as a form of humor, yeah. You know, than, but I can fall into the trap of deflecting my anger through sarcasm. Yeah. Well, is there anything more to say? What do we want to, is there anything we could give the audience to try?
I guess maybe, you know, if you are in a difficult relationship with your anger, too much of it, not enough of it, I think try believing, you know, that it's evolved. We have evolved. We still have this, you know, this reaction embedded, we're born with it. And, you know, just start to imagine like what gifts might be there if you move towards a more skillful yeah. relationship with it, right? Yeah. It doesn't have to be something to be hated or repudiated or thrown under the bus, you know?
Yeah. Take a look at yourself, see what side of this seesaw you're on and see if there's room for improvement, you know, yeah. And reach out. And, you know, if you're more like Margaret, reach out to her and see how she, you know, she's dealing with it. And if you're more like me, reach out to me and we can have a conversation and do some coaching around it. Cause, you know, we've both been working at this, well, for me, for many years, for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Well, go put it into practice.